Hey friends, I'm Naomi and glad to have you here listening to A Creative Purpose. This space is here to encourage and support creatives leave their soul-sucking jobs so they can earn a living doing what they love and live an adventurous life. I have some great conversations with other creatives where they share their journey and how they got to where they are today and the lessons learned along the way. I'll also share my story and what I've learned and am learning on this beautiful, sometimes difficult road to living a life I love. So welcome back, friends. I have my friend Stacy here with me today, and I'm excited to have this conversation, and we're not quite sure where it's going to go, but it's going to be great no matter which direction it takes. So welcome, Stacy. Would you mind introducing yourself to my friends?
Yes. Hi, Naomi. Thanks for having me here today. Mm-hmm. So my name is Stacy O'Brien, and I own a company called Before the Lawyer. And I help people take quick control of their legal issues and explore all their options before hiring a lawyer so they don't overpay or get overwhelmed by the process. So one of the foundations of the business is the recognition that lawyers are the right solution, absolutely, some of the time, but they aren't and they can't be the solution all the time, every time you have a legal problem. So through my business, I've created services for people who don't necessarily want to run straight to the lawyer. So I've created some space for people to come and explore different options and creative options. And I'm excited to talk to you today about that creative piece within the legal world, because I don't think it's talked about a lot.
No, and I'll be honest, like you just saying lawyer, bring some anxiety to my body because I'm like, oh no, am I in trouble? Or, you know, like even starting a business, like what does that look for trademark or, you know, like that legality of stuff, especially I feel heavier in the US market than like what I feel in Bangkok here or other countries. So I do get more anxious when I hear about legal stuff. So I love that there is an opportunity to have somebody that knows that world and can bring it down to a maybe comfortable space for me to then enter in and have more clarity and stuff to then take the next best step. So,
I hear that a lot. There's so much unnecessary fear around the legal world. That's one of my things. I'm quite passionate about taking the fear out of the everyday legal problems. And I think part of it is we've all seen the movies, like the big scary legal movies, the legal firms, you know, the lawyers in the black suits. And it's been around for a long time that the legal world has been portrayed like that. And it's just, we absorb it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the number one, I'd say that's the number one thing I hear from people is that they have anxiety, they have fear, they get paralyzed very quickly when a legal issue enters their world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what kind of made you want to get into this arena? Because it's, like you said, it's not talked about a lot. It's kind of hush hush as far as like how to even maybe even get a lawyer, right? Like I wouldn't even know where to start. So what kind of spurred this desire in you to serve people in this way?
Yeah, I was actually writing an Instagram post the other day about how there's no course that you take in school about how to manage your legal issue or how to manage like finding a lawyer, then managing a lawyer. Like, where do you start? It's not like your parents sat you down for the lawyer talk.
Mm-hmm.
So like we were lucky if, you know, and here in high school, if you took one course and it was just the basics of law. So you have your first legal issue and it's just overwhelming because you don't know how many steps there are. What's the first step? How to approach it? So I've always been interested in the legal problems, like the everyday legal problems for the everyday person. because I can see the stress that that causes. It tends to invade your world. It can affect work. It can affect family, finances. So I've always been focused on that, where, you know, my friends in law school, they were focused on more corporate issues or, you know, finance, oil and gas. I just was really client-centered, like the everyday client. So when I started law school, like I always knew I wanted to go to law school. And actually it was really confirmed in grade 11 in that one law course that I took, not because of the content. This is an interesting story. So I knew I wanted to go to law school, and my grade 11 law school teacher told me that I wasn't smart enough to get in.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And it's funny because you have positive experiences that can send you down a road, but then those negative experiences can, you know, light that fire. So I knew I wanted to go. And then when he told me that I wasn't smart enough to go, even though it's like straight A's and had an A in his class. And I just thought, okay, it's on. I'm going. So I knew I was going to go to law school, but I did write on my law school application that I wasn't going to practice in a traditional way, that I wasn't going to necessarily even practice. So I said I was interested in exploring all the new alternatives in law, like the things, the different things you could do with your law degree. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to the law school I went to that they let me in.
They invited me in,
even though I said that on my application. They even gave me a scholarship. So I have a lot of respect for that school. And then once I was in, I was just always had a keen eye for what are the different ways to use your degree, and what are the ways you can sort of take it back to the community, take it back to the individual clients, rather than sort of the more traditional build an empire kind of dream. And then when I was done law school, I didn't go that traditional route. I went to work for the government. I went to work for foreign affairs instead of going into a big law firm. So it's been there for a long time. And it's just been a natural evolution into this business that I've started. And it really has come together nicely. And it's, in a lot of ways, I've realized a dream that I've had for a long time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. Cause I love hearing stories where people have that clarity, like fairly early on, cause not everybody has that. Like my brother has that. He always wanted to be a Marine since he was like so little, and he's been career. And I've never had that, like, I'm going to go do this, you know? So I love hearing stories of people that, kind of have that feeling or that knowing of like, yeah, this is the path I'm going to go down, even though I'm not sure how it's going to kind of turn out exactly, but have some clarity around this is the arena I want to be in. So yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's a good summary there, like about the arena. Like I knew the arena, but it has been a long and a windy road. Like I've tried on a lot of different hats after law school. Learned a ton, but I knew that it was legal. It's just, it hasn't been a straight line. Cause I also do admire those people. Like, I have some friends, they knew med school, being a doctor was a dream. That was just a straight line. And yeah. I always admire it and wonder what that would be like.
Yeah, me too.
How windy has your road been?
Looking back, I guess it hasn't been too windy as far as like career. So like when I was in college, I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought I was going to be a PT or a kinesiology kind of stuff. And but then I couldn't pass a class. And so ended up in health and physical education and did not want to be a teacher like all through college. And I was like, no, 2 years out. Ended up going back to school to become a teacher. So, you know, but even with that, it's like, there was enough creativity in that space for me, to enjoy it. Like I always like to be active. I liked kids for the most part. Like, I didn't really think about them like, oh, I love kids, I got to get into teaching. It wasn't that. I was just like kind of in that space. Okay, these are fun people to be around and have fun with. But like, but I could change it up enough by changing schools or changing countries or changing whatever, like still kind of in that education arena, but I could shift enough to keep it more exciting. Or if I was feeling burnt out or just needed a change, I could do that. And I think that's kind of helped that creative side of me, right?
Yeah.
Like sustain that.
It's funny that you mentioned teaching. So I come from a long line of teachers, like parents, cousins, aunts, and uncles. And I always said I went to law school because it was so much easier than going to teacher's college and being a teacher. Like, and I am not just saying that. Mm-hmm. That is honestly, like, could not go that route. I could not host all those kids and the curriculum. Like, mm-hmm. It's just a never-ending job. So yeah, lots of creativity there, but wow, that's a job description to mm-hmm. be a teacher.
Yeah. And it's changing, right? Ever more. Like, I don't see myself teaching back in the States ever again, you know, mm-hmm. 'cause I don't align with a lot of the stuff. And, you know, and I think we have that choice, right? And that's where I was like, I'm burnt out. I don't align with a lot of the things anymore. Yeah. So I can either stay and be grumpy, which isn't good for the kids, mm-hmm. right? It's not fair to them. Or I can get out and try something different. And that's what I chose to do. And I mean, I'm still teaching in my day job and I love it. I teach Japanese kids and I love that cultural challenge and stuff like that. So,
I still have, like, I can feel that I come from teachers. As one mm-hmm. of my sort of mini dreams is to develop a legal curriculum for the early years. Because I think I'm quite passionate about it. I think legal issues should be taught in an age-appropriate way from kindergarten on. And can you imagine if we learned everything as part mm-hmm. of the curriculum, we could move into more self-service for mm-hmm. legal issues. Like if you knew how to do, if you wanted to take somebody to court, how to do the forms and the statement of claim, and even how to hire and manage a lawyer, like soft conflict resolution, like learning that in the early years, I think it could be a bit of a game changer for disrupting this legal model that we have, where every time you have a legal issue, it seems like the only choice is to go get a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And we could sort of take more ownership of legal issues, of the legal system, of courts. So I can see eventually I'll stick my big toe a little bit into that world.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Okay. So I'm going to keep an eye on you and encourage you to keep going with that. Because knowledge is power. The more we know, the more we don't have to live in fear of things that come our way. And I mean, I would think most people don't want to have to deal with the law, like in, you know, sticky situations, but that's kind of part of life. You know, like you were saying, we don't know what's coming our way, but if we have the knowledge of just those first steps to take, then we're not, well, I know for me, right? Fear can either stop us from doing anything, which could then make the situation even more difficult because we haven't addressed anything. So maybe you're not showing up to court, or, you know, which could cause more trouble or whatever, or we dive into something head first and then could give it ourselves in a maybe not the best representation that we need.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that.
I mean, we are all going to have legal issues. In North America, half of us will have an everyday legal issue in the next 3 years. So half of us in the next 3 years.
Wow.
So we have medical issues. We have financial issues. You have school problems. You have problems with friends, work, family. and you're going to have a legal issue. Those are all normal parts of life.
Mm-hmm.
And we tackle all of them, but it, you know, you have a, let's say you have a, like as a mom, if I have a kid issue, I lean in with my friends, my other mom friends, and everybody contributes, everybody's got ideas, and I just dive in and solve it. Like even financial issues, which I find a bit intimidating,
mm-hmm.
I just get my hands dirty and jump in. But with legal issues, there's this weird thing that happens that people just take a giant step back. And even when you're trying to go to your usual networks for help, everybody's like, oh, I don't know. I took one course in grade 11 and that's it. That's all I know.
Yeah.
But they're just normal issues. We're going to have them. You're going to sign a lease at some point, or you're going to buy a home, or you're going to buy a car, right? There's contracts associated with that. Hopefully you're going to do a will or a power of attorney at some point. You're going to sign, you're going to enter an employment relationship and there's going to be some paperwork. Or, you know, when you get insurance, they're all just regular everyday problems. But for some reason, we've attached all this emotion to the legal ones.
Mm-hmm.
So again, going back to the school, you know, if you just learned about a lease and learned about contracts as part of school, you just be like, whatever, I know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know how to deal with an insurance company when they won't give me what I need and what I signed up for. That's conflict resolution. And let's get going with the agenda and let's lean into those tough conversations. And, mm-hmm. but we just have attached so many different things, you know, even to the point of clients, some clients I talk to, they immediately start talking about they're afraid to go to court and they start talking about their fear of public speaking. That gets attached to a legal issue early on.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I would like for us to get to that place where we normalize it. We just sort of unpack those emotions and we get going with some skills and problem solving. And I think bringing more creativity to legal, because there's that hard line, right? Mm-hmm. Creative people over here, button up legal people over here. I'm going to go out on a limb and say some of the best problem solvers that I've met have been creatives.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just natural for, you know, that type of brain to get in and solve legal issues. And that's very surprising when I say that. A lot of people are mm-hmm. like, what?
Yeah.
But, you know, creativity has a big role to play in the legal world, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I can see that both ways. Like as creatives, we don't want to be boxed in, and that's where I feel like the legal is mm-hmm. at this point, not being really involved in anything except the usual lease, rent, car, you know, those kind of contracts. But I always feel like it's black and white, mm-hmm. right? Whereas the creative mind doesn't, we want to paint in color. But it sounds like potentially knowing, yes, it has black and white, but it's also problem solving and making it some more colorful things. So that's where
right.
we can take some of that fear and intimidation out of it, because there are ways to solve legal things in a new way, I guess.
Yes, because it is problem solving. Like it is black and white when you're entering in like the forms and that original structure. But when you have a legal dispute, like a legal conflict, you're into problem solving. You want to stay out of the lawyer's office. You want to stay out of court. The majority of people aren't going to court. You know, it's only sort of 5% that go. So you're, in my mind, you're into good old fashioned problem solving that involves two parties. And you have, your way out often is more dependent on your understanding of human nature and mm-hmm. getting creative. And creative people have that intuition, empathy, compassion. You're dealing with two people in a dispute. So the way out is to solve it with the two people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it very rarely gets solved with people holding up like clauses, and that's when things fall apart. That's when you're going to court.
Mm.
But if you can lean in early on and be like, what happened here? We're both not happy. Let's figure out how we got here. Let's break the problem down and create some options to get out. So we don't have to go to the lawyer. We don't have to go to court. I think creatives are very good at that.
Yeah. And I like how you explain that, because like my aha right now is just like, it is about relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the sense, like we both want our needs met, but where can we also take out that ego and make sure that we're coming to the win-win and not a win-lose situation? And that is a give and take kind of conversation, I guess, you know, and like knowing human psychology, like, you know, it sounds like a lot of those things come into play to kind of read the other person, seeing where they feel like they got wronged.
Yes.
Or stuff like that. So,
yeah, a lot of misunderstandings. I had a client last month, and it was a business deal that was going sideways. So they thought they had a great contract, and it was like a sale of a business, and it was just falling apart, and they were just not talking. And so I checked my client and said, what's your biggest fear here? And you would think that she would say something like getting ripped off or losing money or, you know, going to court. And she said, I'm really worried that I've done something wrong here. And I had a great relationship with him before, and I'm worried I'm in the wrong. And that's what's keeping me up at night. And I said, call him immediately and start the conversation like that. I'm calling because I'm worried that I've done something wrong here. Mm. Can you tell me why this has broken down? And that changed everything.
Yeah.
And so you move from a conflict position, a win-lose, to understanding. And really, you know, like in conflict, one person has misunderstood something. They've either misunderstood what's happened, or they've misunderstood the law. So let's get to the bottom of the misunderstanding. So just her entering that conversation with that vulnerability.
Yeah.
That opened up the dialogue. And then they started putting solutions on the table and looking for the win-win.
That's awesome.
It's funny, if, you know, I can see if they didn't have that conversation, they could have easily just both gone the other way. Let's lawyer up. Let's start investing money there. And then you get into sunk costs. You don't want to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes a conversation like that can really change things and reduce the conflict and get you on a path to solutions.
Oh, I love that. Cause it just takes that assumption out of it. Yeah. Right. Cause if you're not communicating, you're assuming, oh, they're coming from this point of view, which could be totally off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so that's great.
Yeah.
Like advice.
Yeah. I had another client, a few weeks ago, and it was a divorce situation, but they were fighting. They didn't have lawyers yet, but they're fighting over custody and access. So when I was talking to him, he just mentioned something small. He said, I think she misunderstands the law. And I said, there, that's what we've got to lean into. So if she does misunderstand how custody and access works, of course she's going to be making these these different decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, why don't you ask her understanding of it? And why don't you sit down together and take a look at what the law is, or offer to go for an hour to a lawyer together to hear what it is, mm-hmm. or do your research online, or I can help you with that piece. But they started that conversation, and there was a big misunderstanding about how those decisions were made. So why head off for a $10,000 legal battle just to get to the bottom of that misunderstanding? Just have that together before, if you're able to.
Yeah.
You don't need to talk through lawyers for that. Mm-hmm. You can jump online and find out a lot of good information and then talk together about what that means for your situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I like that there are resources available to bring it down to like layman terms, so to speak, you know, like, because I think that's also where I get intimidated, is the jargon that I don't understand. And I feel like sometimes legal things add so much language that doesn't need to be there. And so sure. It's just like, okay, let's just bring it down. What is that simply saying? So finding those kind of resources are helpful.
Yeah, it's nice. The legal industry is being disrupted a lot lately. So there's subscription services online to have a legal advisor, free resources. You know, in some jurisdictions, Walmart offers some legal services. There's more storefront, you know, like you go, you know, like, you know, there's check cashing places and then legal places right next door where you can get some advice. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of new resources coming out, which is great. Anything that increases your choice and options in legal is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you're doing this work to help so many, right? Not go down the road of destruction financially, because I think it is very expensive from what I hear. Just like friends going through divorce or different things like that. And so it's like, on top of the stress of just going through a dispute and then the financial impact of that, I think investing in work with you and people like you would just save so much time and money and stress. So I love that you offer that to people.
Yeah, thanks. It's the investment in legal services, like, it's huge. Like, I think, you know, where we are, where I am, is the average, I think, is about $400 an hour for a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like $5,000 to $10,000 for retainers, usually. That's not accessible. Mm-hmm. Like, who wants to sign up for that?
Right.
Like, right out of the gate and not knowing how much more money is coming behind it. So that's another foundation in my business, is I recognize that jump from I have a legal problem into sitting in a lawyer's office writing a check for the retainer, it's too big for people. So I'm kind of a bridge. And, you know, so a lot of people will call me and say, I just need 20-minute discussion. Mm-hmm. Like, I just need somebody to help me sort it out. And they just need like a little boost of confidence, like a little bit of legal information, just some validation, and they're on their way. Mm-hmm. And that's good savings, like, not to enter the, you know, the retainer world.
Right.
Like I said before, like, lawyers are, you need them for certain situations, but I think we need to put a keener eye on that, like, really examine it. Do I need to be making that investment? It needs to be a wise investment. Mm-hmm. That's something I help clients with, is weighing that. What's the right time to pull the trigger with a lawyer, hiring a lawyer? And then how can I keep those costs as low as possible? Mm-hmm. So for probably about right now, 20% of my clients, I'm actually managing the lawyer for them to keep the cost down. So that's a new service that's really growing, where people are like, I don't understand what they're talking about. I can't manage every time I talk to them. It's an hour. Whereas when I manage them, I can go in 2 minutes, give them the instructions. So I think any way we can cut costs in with legal disputes, I'm game for.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that opportunity to like, as I always translate it back to creative business, right? And it's because when you're starting a business, there is that legal stuff that we think about, or, you know, people will come up on your feed, oh, how to trademark this, how to trademark that. I know some business groups I'm in are really into that legal heavy stuff. And so, again, my anxiety kind of comes up, but having opportunity to build out your business without feeling overwhelmed on the legal side. Are there any, I don't know, like, I'm not sure if that's kind of like what you move into as well with your services, but do you have any suggestions for the creative business owner?
Well, I think starting small, like you don't need to take on all the issues at once, even though, you know, your Instagram feed might tell you otherwise. But I would say to people, start with what you're most interested in, like intellectual property. Some people are really interested in that. Get your feet wet in that. And I wish more people talked about your legal IQ. It's going to grow with your business, just like, you know, your technical IQ, you know, you know, I don't know how many apps you have, but I'm getting better and better. I think I have like 200 now. And, you know, the creative pieces, like I'm growing and learning. The same thing is going to happen with your legal IQ. So just start where you're most comfortable and don't bite off too much. Like the disclaimer on your website, for example, like everything doesn't need to be done at the beginning. So start small, build your confidence. Some people find out that they actually enjoy it, that they have a higher aptitude for it than they thought. I know there's a lot of way more services online than even like 2 years ago. So there's a lot of great lawyers that are just doing like bundles of contracts. I get a lot of calls about that, where people are like, I'm shopping, there's five, who are these people? Which one should I buy from? So we take a look at it. And I know a lot of the players online. Yeah, so there's great, you don't have to go to a traditional lawyer anymore for all those pieces. So, you know, shop online and, you know, network with the other entrepreneurs about how, you know, their purchases are working for them.
Yeah, that's good advice, because it will grow, right? And I think sometimes we think we have to have this, this, and this in order to start our business. And sometimes we just have to get out there to see if we even like to have a business, right? Like, do we like that way of living or the process, you know, of it? And so not to let that legal side of things kind of like stop you from creating, I guess, because I know I've gotten in some seasons like that where I was like, no, I can't do this because I need that legal piece. Well, it's like, no, you have to keep taking action and creating to see if you even like the process and want to continue on, because it's no use investing all this money if 6 months down the road you're like, okay, I don't like this at all, I'm changing directions, and then what? You know.
Such a great point. I talked to an entrepreneur last year that had done about $4,000 worth of investment in trademarks and some intellectual property protection. I think bought about $5,000 worth of templates, like contracts. And then shortly thereafter was like, this is not the right world for me. Like I'm going back to my 9-to-5. Like those legal investments are quite heavy. They can be quite heavy. So, you know, you got to fit them in the budget and you got to plan for them and not overwhelm yourself. And, you know, remember what gets you out of bed in the morning, right? Like you got to keep in the zone that energizes you and bite off a little legal at a time.
Yeah.
Because not very many people are jumping out of bed with excitement for the contracts and the other pieces. But the people that I work with, like when you have been in one contractual conflict, like your legal IQ goes up so much after that. And then you can make different investments, take on different pieces. So, you know, be patient with yourself on the legal side.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Cause it is a learning curve. And like you said, some people have that more aptitude for it and others don't. And so do what you can with your time and energy to learn what you can, but then also get the support that you need to move it forward, I guess. And just like anything else, right? It's like, let's play in our genius instead of letting other things stop us. Which I think is hard for new creative business owners, because we do have to wear many hats when we're starting something new. So it's like, how can you, I don't know, get the support you need with those more challenging pieces so it doesn't hold you up from showing up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm so happy to be part of the legal coaching community, because it's such a nice option to even once a year book in with a legal coach and just talk about what's worrying you about on the legal side, and just do the brain dump. I feel like my website's not compliant, and I've got too many customer disputes because I don't have a contract, or I don't have a good contract that I like. And, do I need insurance? Do I need to, and just do the brain dump and then work with the coach, just to get a plan, a legal plan.
Yeah.
So you have it all housed in one place, and okay, the next quarter I'm tackling this, and then the next quarter, and then you can see in 2 years, I've moved through all the legal pieces, get the big check mark. That feels really good. And I think that's a great use of a legal coach to talk about what keeps you up at night, which is really a risk assessment, and then make the decisions about where you're going to apply your energy, apply it to the most high risk pieces first. And then you can see your progress and you can see your achievement. And most people feel very accomplished at the end when they've done it in that methodical way.
Mm-hmm.
So just having the plan, I think checking in once a year with a legal coach is a great, great idea for, because you just forget, right? You'll be checking with the financial people and all the other pieces, but get the legal coach on your list and get that confidence.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because it's just like anything else, right? It's having a strategy. And once you know where you're going, what you're working on next, then it takes away a lot of that worry, because you're like, no, I got this. I know what I'm doing. And okay, this quarter, I need to learn about this. And you're going to make time in your schedule to study up on that and talk to people. And
Yeah. I think the legal issues, they just have a funny way of growing and growing. There's small worries, and they just tend to, again, I think it goes back to the legal culture and all the legal shows, and they just grow. So just get ahead of that and get it into the plan, and again, normalize it.
Yeah.
You have to attend to all the pieces of the business. They're all equal. You're not afraid of the marketing plan. You're not afraid of the financial plan. Don't be afraid of the legal plan either. Just get a plan and chip away at it.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So if somebody wanted to reach out and kind of, set up a coaching call with you, how would they find you?
So my favorite platform is Instagram. I'm mostly on Instagram. So you just feel free to slide into my DMs, and I am at Before the Lawyer on Instagram. So most people reach me through there. And then I have a website, which is beforethelawyer.ca. And I do have a booking button, a contact button on there. So feel free to use it. And yeah, I'd love to, it's my favorite, best part of the day is connecting with people about their legal problems and about solutions.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I've had, because at the beginning I was like, I'm very nervous. I feel anxiety in my body. After this talk, I feel a lot more calm and a lot more empowered to take the action I need to not let legal things scare me or stop me from moving forward. So thank you so much for just bringing that sense of calm and peace to the side of business building and life, right? Life in general. So I appreciate that.
Yes, that makes me very happy to hear that. Thank you so much for having me on today. It's just been a fantastic discussion. So thank you. Yeah,
thanks. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thanks.
If you found this episode to be helpful, please feel free to share it. And if you'd like to leave a rating and a review, I'd appreciate that. If you'd like to connect, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Creative Purpose. If you have any specific questions you'd like me to talk on, you can leave them in my DMs.